It's good to have you here today, and we've been taking a brisk walk through Matthew chapter 26 as Christ commences the final week of his earthly life. This is a lengthy chapter in Matthew's gospel, and we simply do not have the time to cover every verse in depth right now. So today I want us to talk some about verses 14 through 16, and then we'll make a big jump together all the way down to verse 47. When we do this, we're going to miss several crucial events in the life of Christ. And what I'd like to do at the start today is to highlight for you what we are missing, so that prayerfully you will read these verses on your own and draw out application for your life from them. Should you read these portions of Matthew 26 and have questions, write to me with those, okay? I'd be happy to do my best, by the grace of God, to answer any question, anytime. Really, I love questions, so keep them coming. If you have your Bible there with you and you're able to do so, open it to Matthew chapter 26. And if you have a writing utensil or your phone there with you, you can jot these down, references for all that you need to read in your own time. I'll also post these to the God Is Facebook page, God Is, W-E-Z-E. We've already covered Matthew 26 verses 1 through 13, and today we'll look at verses 14 through 16. Then we'll jump down to verse 47, but in between we have the following. The preparation of the Passover meal, that's verses 17 through 19. We have the Passover being celebrated with Jesus and his disciples, that is verses 20 through 25. I have quoted from there already because it is at this meal that Jesus identifies Judas as his betrayer. So please have a look at that, Matthew 26 verses 20 through 25. After that, just follow along in the text chronologically. We have verses 26 through 29, in which Jesus models and commands the Lord's Supper. If you want to know the source for what your church may call communion or the Lord's Supper, this is it. Assuming your specific church remembers Jesus the way he wants to be remembered, read about this in Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29. Following that, in verses 30 through 35, the Lord and his disciples go to Mount of Olives, where Jesus predicts that all of the disciples will fall away from him that night. When Peter objects, Jesus tells him that Peter will actually deny Christ three times. Peter and the other disciples do not agree with Jesus, but when you read verses 69 through 75, the end of Matthew chapter 26, that is exactly what happens. In fact, I suggest you read Matthew 26, verses 30 through 35, and then immediately read verses 69 to 75. I will not have time to cover these verses on this broadcast and podcast. Finally, in Matthew chapter 26, and then verses 36 to 46, we have the chilling encounter between Jesus and God the Father in prayer in the garden called Gethsemane. That's Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. It's easy to remember, 26, 36, 46. Oh, this is a magnificent portion of the entire Word of God. But alas, hard decisions have to be made about what to include and what to exclude within our time constraints. And so at this time, I will not comment on Christ's prayers in the garden. I'll save this for another time, but you have no such time limits. So get a copy of the Bible, open to Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46, and read and reread that hard and very real section of the chapter. It's here that Christ sets himself to the cross, soul set on obeying the will of God the Father, despite the sheer agony this will create for him. And to be clear, Jesus is in no way afraid of dying or cowering before the men who will kill him. Never. What creates the grief in Christ is that he knows that in the moments of his death, the full wrath and fury of God's judgment on sin will be unleashed in Christ. Jesus, completely innocent, the perfect life, the one who never ever sinned for even a second, and yet he will now bear the wrath of God on sin. This is why Jesus prays such heart-wrenching prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. So please do read this, Matthew chapter 26 and verses 36 through 46. Remember it this way, 26, 36, 46. This is Jesus in prayer. And now here is what we will do in Matthew 26. Perhaps I have made it sound like we will hardly discuss anything therein. Well, not quite. Today I'll cover verses 14 through 16, then we'll jump down to verses 47 and following, making some discoveries throughout select verses in verses 47 through 68. So turn with me in your Bible back to Matthew 26 at verse 14. And remember, I'll post what I just shared on Facebook, and if you would like, I'm happy to send this to you. What we will cover and what you should read on your own in Matthew 26. To get that, just go to God Is WEZE on Facebook. That's God Is WEZE on Facebook, or write to me today and ask for this outline, Mark at markaswallow.com. That's spelled M-A-R-K at M-A-R-K-A. SWALLOW.com or God Is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts 01890. And both of those addresses will be repeated soon. That was a lengthy introduction today, but I thought it was necessary. I want to make certain you follow along closely on our brisk walk through this awesome chapter. And I'm reading now Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to Judas. From then on, Judas began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. What I want to highlight within these verses is this: how humiliating the betrayal of Jesus for just 30 pieces of silver was for Christ. We're talking in these days together about the humiliation of the Lord, and here we see it again. And what is not immediately obvious if you should just read this text on the surface, but ignore notes and cross-references in your margin or at the bottom of your Bible, or should you read this on an app or online with no study notes at all, is this. Matthew, as he always does, makes allusion here to the Old Testament. He's calling to the minds of his Jewish readers Exodus chapter 21 and verse 32. Exodus 21:32 reads, "If the ox gores a male or female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned." What was Jesus worth to Judas and the chief priests? He's worth the price of a slave. And yet, even worse, a slave who has been gored by an ox. This is a slave who has sustained serious injury and will therefore not be as useful, not able to do as much work as a slave who was at full physical capacity. 30 pieces of silver in Matthew 26 corresponds to 30 shekels of silver in Exodus 21, thereby making Jesus' life worth that of a slave with serious limitations. Jesus, who is God and is to be worshipped as God, is absolutely humiliated by this cheap price. Furthermore, the Old Testament continues to be written all over verses 14 through 16 in Matthew 26. We have to consider the book of Zechariah at the end of our Old Testaments. If you do not know, Zechariah is a prophet, and this is a book with a message for Zechariah's day and for the future. And in chapter 11, Zechariah receives a prophecy about the rejection of the Messiah, who of course is Jesus. The previous two chapters, Zechariah 9 and 10, speak to the Messiah Jesus as the chief shepherd. Chapter 11 prophesies the end of Christ's life. And in verse 12 of chapter 11, Zechariah unfolds a drama for his readers and puts these words into the mouth of the then forthcoming Messiah. Listen to Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. "I said to them, 'If it is good in your sight, give me my wages. But if not, never mind.' So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages." There it is. Zechariah 11, verse 12. You can look it up for yourself today. The Jews decided that Jesus is worth to them 30 shekels of silver, the price of a lowly slave. And then listen to the next verse. This is still in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 13. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. You heard me read there about the potter? Well, over in Matthew 27, verses 3 through 10, after Judas commits suicide, the 30 pieces of silver that Judas had thrown back to the chief priest is used to buy what? Yes, a potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Read Matthew 27, verses 7 through 10. That is, read Zechariah 11, verse 12, alongside Matthew 27, verses 7 through 10. So much Old Testament prophecy is fulfilled with precision in the New Testament Gospel of Matthew. To understand Matthew, you have to understand the Old Testament. I'll add these references to my post on the God Is WEZE Facebook site. And of course, I'll include these if you write to me and ask for all the biblical references I used today. Here is the bottom line lesson for today. To Judas and the chief priests, Jesus' life is worth that of a slave with serious limitations. Jesus, who is God and who is to be worshipped as God, is absolutely humiliated by this price. How dare these men do this to Jesus Christ? The one who is master to them becomes like a slave. He's worth far, far more than any money can buy, yet he's sold like a commodity when he is Christ. They treat him like a common man when he is Messiah, and unbelievably, we're just at the start of how these evil, wicked men will continue to treat our Lord. When you return tomorrow, we will pick up the reading at Matthew 26 and verse 47. If you want to read ahead, which is always highly recommended, then read Matthew chapter 26, verses 47, as far as verse 68. That's Matthew 26, 47 through 68. Give that a good read. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue to learn who God is in Christ.